Yeah, well, man. You took the Invisaligns out. We only have 15 minutes for you to talk. You better hit it up.
I can hear your teeth getting more crooked as you speak.
You're turning more and more British, I think, is what we got.
Hello, and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another DL Gaming Podcast. This is Roberto Digital here with Chad, Emilio, and Chi.
Hey.
Hello.
Does Digital have a Spanish version? What's the
Digital.
So Roberto Digital?
Yeah. Digitalis.
Man, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
That's what they should rename that white, what is it, Reaper from...
Overwatch? Oh, the El Blanco?
Yeah.
No,
fuck El Blanco. Roberto Digital.
Roberto
Digital. I like that skin. That's one of my favorite skins, although I never play him.
Chad's got him.
Yeah.
Whatever you like, Chad's got. And he got it in one fucking...
And we're going to learn about this a little bit on last week's episode when we get this going.
Awesome.
Is that where we're going?
Episode. Yeah, that's exactly where we're going. Let me whip this out here. Laptop, that is.
Yeah. And then he's taking the laptop
last
out.
Last week on the podcast, we learned why Chad is a bad person and no one should be his friend.
Like, basically, the sweetest skins, he got them all.
And
I'm still level 4.
And here's the worst. And here's the worst part of the whole thing.
That is the worst part. I think I just heard the worst part.
He only plays one character. That's the worst part. So they're all going to rot.
Play Lucio.
We got an insight into Chad's twisted fantasies.
But you might walk in and I'm naked in the living room, nice. In some crazy position with the headset on and porn's playing in the background. But that'll be fun.
We found out about the podcast listeners.
If we get both your brothers, we'll have 6 listeners. Yeah. So it'll be great.
7. My mom listens also.
Oh, that's true.
Okay.
Our girlfriends listen to talk about it.
Yeah, that's all 6. Yeah. That's all 6.
We learned what Emilio would spend $800 on.
If your question is rent or VR, definitely rent. But if your question is VR or a ice cream maker, or something like just disposable income. Definitely VR. I mean, it's definitely worth it.
Yep.
I don't think an ice cream maker costs that much, but okay.
It's the first thing that I can think of that I want.
That's a weird thing to want.
I got big dreams. I got big dreams.
And we learned that although the DL team thinks they can do impersonations, they shouldn't ever do them. Ever. At all. Just stop.
Look at this team. We're going to do great.
Strong, vigorous,
like a
exercise.
Real...
It's high noon somewhere. So, this is Jaja Binks.
Oh,
saying goodbye for everybody. Saying goodbye for Chi, and for Child, and for Husa Yusa.
Yeah, so that is correct. There were 4 impersonations last episode.
Wow.
Yeah, so
stay tuned. You might get another one, folks.
Right?
So maybe that's 4 too many in my mind. But while we're still on last week's episode, I have a couple notes. This is not going to happen every episode, but there was a couple things that we stated, and I wanted to either clarify or expound on. So the first one, I just want to say. Emilio listed three things during his British superhero section, or British heroes. He listed three things. He listed Sherlock Holmes, James Bond, and Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is a Marvel character created by an American.
Oh, I meant Doctor Who.
Doctor Who. That would be a much better, because that's why I started talking about like Captain Britain and stuff. I was like, we're talking Marvel. Okay.
Right, right.
Anyways, Harry Potter dropped.
Makes sense.
We were talking about Sherlock Holmes, and I was mentioning a game.
She's right. Harry Potter is a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Kinda. But he has magic and abilities. Like he is more of a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
it's Britain's first superhero that I know.
Sounds like an episode of The Big Bang Theory. I don't think we need to argue about this.
All right, to get back to on topic, I was talking about a game that I played where you were investigating your own murder when we were talking about Sherlock Holmes, and we couldn't come up with the name.
I told you over and over, you were the one who played it. You're trying to get it out of us.
Correct, because Yeah, well, anyway. The name was called Murdered Soul Suspect. I don't know if you remember now, but that was the name of the game.
I remember that game.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked about Overwatch bans last episode, and Emil mentioned thousands and thousands. So the actual number is 1,500 in China and then an unknown amount in the rest of the world. So
thousands and thousands.
It might potentially be thousands and thousands, but we don't know the actual numbers. The last thing we had talked about how many Vives have potentially been sold.
Yeah.
So what somebody did is
they just guessed a bunch, right?
Well, what somebody did is they took the numbers of how many Tilt Brush. Because it comes free with the Valve, with the Vive. There's between 70 and 80,000, according to Steam Spy, there's between 70 to 80,000 people that have Tilt Brush.
Okay.
So that's what they're estimating is the Vive sales as of now.
I would knock maybe 10,000 off of there just because the dev version is probably downloaded it.
So
I don't know.
That's a little corrections. Don't expect that every week, but I just wanted to clear some stuff up.
Yeah, people don't come for us for accuracy, dude.
Yeah,
and they shouldn't.
Yeah. All right. So the other thing that I wanted to bring up, I wanted to re-bring up Project Honor. This was a GoFundMe account, GoFundMe project set up by one of our listeners. I want to say Mobius X1 did this. Okay.
Yeah.
He's doing a GoFundMe to create a PC for
Memorial PC in honor of his fallen comrade.
Yep, which
and
he's going to give
donate to a veteran, possibly in a hospital or something like that.
Yep. So the GoFundMe is for $2,000. He's over halfway done. If you are interested in that, look up Project Honor on the GoFundMe,
and also if you have components laying around, he has a component list that can. It can substitute for cash, and because that's all the end goal is anyway.
Exactly.
And anyway, more on all of this, because I interviewed him at the end of this episode in Listener Spotlight, so don't have to mention it twice, but yeah.
Listen at the end of this podcast, the Mummy Sex one.
And that's not all we talked about. We talked about, you know, all the usual stuff. Why you like me more than Chad, and why does every Listener Spotlight pick me? I asked him, and he's like, you know.
Because you're the weirdest dude on the podcast?
Yeah, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, Mobius X, I'm really proud to see the results that you've already gotten for Project Honor. And thanks for coming by my stream.
Nice.
And I let him link it in my chat, so hopefully that helped you out a little bit as well.
Cool. Yeah, and we'll hear more about your chat a little bit, or your Twitch a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
We have an additional podcast coming out,
this week.
To this one, yeah. It's in the can already, so it's ready to be posted. It is our interview with the leader.
It is an interview, but it's more of Prism and Chi and myself talking about CSGO.
Yep.
I call it the CSGO primer because I am a complete noob both to the game and to competitive CSGO. So it's basically me asking Chi and Mike questions on that exact topic.
Yeah.
So
if you're in that camp where you're wondering why this game is so big, maybe this is a good place to jump in. And then also if you've been playing this for years, you can disagree with what's being said or agree.
Or make fun of me as I stumble around noobishly.
I prefer the
latter. It was a great little introduction.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.
At different scales, because I feel like the conversation went from newbie to someone who's just more casual but has
experience,
been in the game. Yeah, experience. And then someone who plays at a pro level. So I thought it was great seeing one from every category.
She literally just pointed at Chad and smirked when she said newbie.
Yep.
And then,
did I call you noob?
You should.
I didn't call you a pleb.
It could be one or the other.
We have a pleb, and then we have like intermediate, and then we have like pro. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
I would be the pleb.
And we're streaming. We won't change the podcast for the stream. We are live on Twitch Creative, right, Bobby? Or no?
As we speak?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do they call that?
Gaming talk shows, I think.
Gaming talk shows? Is that on the creative or no?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, we're on there. If you want to see my legs.
everyone's legs.
Yeah,
you might have to have short. Like a leg comparison chart because I mean,
you can barely see Emilio's leg with all the hair. It's more like he's got Yeti. It's shorts than Yeti feet.
I've got really big legs, and it was actually a huge struggle for me to like know how to position my body to, you know, have an accent with the cam, because normally when I stream, it's only like, you know,
yeah, the waist up.
So having my legs exposed,
the problem, though, is we don't tend to always stream at the same time or record our podcast at the same time.
Generally, it's Sundays.
So
tune in Sundays.
If you are interested in actually seeing us and seeing the magic happen, what I would recommend is follow us and then set it so it notifies you when we're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get notified and hopefully you can come in and catch. That's not to say we are going to answer any chat questions or anything like that. Yeah. Right now, this is the first time we've actually streamed the podcast, right? Yeah. So we're not doing anything.
We don't want to change
it. It's almost like a sneak peek behind the scenes type of recording.
You can see our living room and see the cool poster we have.
Worst couch ever.
And then maybe we'll actually improve the podcast portion of it later. But
yeah,
now
this
it's
is
more
a,
like
a
this
growth.
Is day one. This is like unranked pleb sauce.
Yeah,
we're kind of like the cable company. We're gonna broadcast on Sunday somewhere between 10 a.m. and November sharp.
Yep, or Monday. So. But we're growing. We're growing in lots of areas.
Yeah.
And we're trying to see the best way to connect to our fans, the best way to grow and all. And so obviously Twitch is huge. We want to be on there. If we could, we'd all have no jobs doing this 24 hours a day.
And you can make that happen.
And
if that doesn't happen, blame yourself.
Yeah. So it's really your fault. No. Yeah.
Oh,
shall we get into the big story?
Yeah, E3 started. How many days are we in?
It's next week.
So why are there announcements? What's going to be announced at E3?
I don't know. That's kind of the question I wanted to know.
Okay, well, there's tons of trailers. I watch all the trailers for all this stuff. So I guess I'm just going to say E3 is coming. And what's been announced so far is... Bobby, give me the... Okay. Titanfall 2 is out in November. Injustice announced.
Injustice 2.
Really weird graphics.
I've never heard of Injustice. What is it?
It's imagine
Mortal Kombat with DC superheroes. And the only reason it's worth bringing up is because
Injustice.
It was pretty good.
Like, Injustice Gods Among Us was the original one.
Yeah,
but it was NetherRealms, which makes Mortal Kombat, so they did it. But it was a T-rated game, so there was no blood. It was DC game, DC characters. So they're doing a sequel to it because they already did an MKX, so they're doing this sequel probably before they do another MK. But then the thing that I heard is that they're doing more RPG elements. You can wear armor and upgrade your armor, so you can actually improve your character that goes into these matches and stuff. So
for multiplayer or just
for multiplayer? Yeah. So
muddy waters there.
There's some interesting things that they're doing.
Okay.
Nobody's ever really tried to mix up the fighting genre, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to mention the graphics again. When Marvel vs. Capcom 3...
Yeah. I wish Marvel vs. Comcast.
Yeah, I know, right? New York actually filed a lawsuit versus whoever does their cable in that state for being so shitty.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
But anyway, when Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out, I didn't like the graphics. They were like trying to blend cartoony with like realistic, and and this is doing the same thing, and it's 8 years later, and I don't know. Personally, I don't like it. Walking Dead Season 3 has been announced. Final Fantasy VII Zodiac, Age of the Zodiac, I think it is. That's the one that we've been talking about over and over, where brand new graphics, HD graphics, redone, more content, you know, everything you could have possibly wanted for Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
But it's announced for the PS4. I could only hope and wish that it's going to come out to the PC.
Nothing's been announced, though, for PC, though, right?
No.
I doubt that initially they would announce it for PC. Yeah. They might do it,
a little close to
the if they keep in grand tradition of PC ports of Final Fantasy games, they'll probably release one years later. That's very shitty.
Yeah.
There you go. The Evil Within 2. Bobby, you're the only one who played The Evil Within. You think, does this make your pulse beat maybe once today?
I'm intrigued. My interest is piqued.
Okay, good.
I got to check it out.
Cool. Wolfenstein 2. We gave Wolfenstein 1 Game of the Year. You and I did.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be all about this, but the other thing too is I've been hearing whispers of Quake being rebooted too. Mm. And after playing Doom, if they do the same kind of job they did on that, I'm like, so for some reason I'm more about
who
that.
Is Quake again? One's more, id and one's
well, Quake. Both, they all were originally
both
id.
Oh, they were yeah. both id. That's
oh,
right.
did somebody take that, Bobby?
I don't know who made the last Quake game.
I thought it was id. I don't know.
I don't think so.
Oh,
because a lot of people use that. Let's see. Quake 4 was the last one that I played, at least the last standalone single player narrative type game.
Did Quaker Oats take it over?
Quaker Oats, yeah, I don't.
That was the worst joke. You're now.
We had literally had dead space.
You're
dead
now air. Banned from jokes. While we're talking about E3, because it's next week, not this week. I don't know what Amanda was thinking.
Raven.
I'm planning to go to E3 on Thursday, and I might have an extra pass for you to go, Emilio, if you're interested in going Thursday.
Now this is Thursday.
Wow.
Ooh, Thursday. We'll talk about it later.
Okay. Well, so
you go?
I would love to go.
Would you go?
I could make things happen.
Okay.
Would
you go in cosplay?
Go? Oh, fuck yeah.
And what would you be your selection be?
In cosplay, something from Overwatch, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe
D.Va is always a popular one in cosplays.
I could be.
It's just a bodysuit.
You didn't read it when I put it in your because you're so busy with your 150 Symmetra. Friends. But I said that you're D.Va in real life, or vice versa, or whatever.
I did see that.
Yeah.
See
oh, okay.
I
sure
did.
You did.
Anyways, so that's not guaranteed, but assuming I can get off work, I will be going up to E3 for one day.
Thursday evening. Isn't that the developer day or whatever?
All day Thursday for me. I'm not sure.
I thought that was a commercial day.
Anyways, so if I do go up, I'm going to be just straight PC, trying to go to just PC things, mm-hmm. and we'll report back my thoughts on E3, but that's not guaranteed, unfortunately, because work kind of is kicking my ass right now. So hopefully next podcast, I will have some E3 news or E3 update.
You guys should see Chad come home from work. It's like a construction worker, but it's for games. He's like, oh, the amount of games I had to play today. You wouldn't even.
It's rough.
Yeah, it's rough.
Like sometimes.
And then I come home to play more games, and it's just.
Anything
like,
else, E3?
Dude, can you play this for the podcast? You know what I do all day at work? I play games, and then you want me to come home. First thing you want me to do is play games.
And I still got through Undertale.
Unless there's a blowjob.
More than you guys. You, and you.
It's not going to happen.
Anything else, E3, we want to talk about before we get into
these last three things? Two things. Prey. I don't even know what Prey 1 was.
Prey
2. That's an old game.
Wasn't that the Chernobyl one? Or is that? No, that's Stalker. What am I thinking, Prey?
I want to say Prey had something to do with a Native American.
Yeah, it had something with the Arctic.
The one versus dinosaurs? Turlock?
No. We're in a very cold setting, from what I can recall from watching the
DL Gaming Podcast. More questions than answers.
Right.
Yeah, no, Prey, I want to say, is a game from 10, 15 years ago that had a... It was like a first-person shooter, but there was something else to it.
There's some type of ghost-like element,
yeah,
I feel like.
Yeah, some supernatural element to
okay.
it.
Okay.
Let's get the scoop here.
Well, it's all coming out of Bethesda, which is my favorite developer slash...
the Cherokee is the protagonist here. First-person shooter game. Yeah.
All right,
I remember selling this game on, release date.
Oh, when you were at GameStop?
Once upon a GameStop. Yeah, yeah. Days, but I wasn't enthused about it at all. It probably was not a good game.
So none of us played it, but the second one's coming out.
Yes, mm-hmm. And okay. The other one that's kind of threw me for a loop is Elder Scrolls Skyrim, remastered and updated. I can't imagine anything Bethesda can do can stand up to 3 years of modding.
Maybe they just mm-hmm. put a bunch of mods together with the package.
Maybe some mod support. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Because modding is not super simple.
Yeah.
So I can imagine a lot of Skyrim players just play vanilla. And so mm-hmm. they probably would appreciate an update.
Yeah, and maybe, I'm just spitballing here, but if they do package mm-hmm. it with the game, maybe some modders can make some money that way.
Yeah.
I know that Steam was planning on charging for mods again.
That's cool.
As long as the modders are making, I want them to make money. I'll give them money. Like, mm-hmm. I really love mods.
Yeah, for sure.
But anyway, let's get into the meat of the podcast, which is our highlights and lowlights of the week.
Oh, so I got a couple things here that I kind of want to just bring up before we get into games. One of the things that I was thinking about today is there's people that are good at games, and when you ask them how they're good, like people that are good at first-person shooters, the concept of a first-person shooter is a very simple one. You see the pixels on the screen, you move your cursor onto those pixels on the screen, and you push the button, like,
no,
right?
It's way beyond that. But positioning is huge.
I know, but the very essence of shooting in a first-person shooter is you move your mouse over there and you push the button.
That's maybe half of what makes you good, though.
Yeah, but When you ask somebody to explain how they're good at a first person shooter, it's just like they're good. You're just good or you're not good, and it's kind of hard to explain why you're good or why you're not good in a game. And I was just kind of, I'm good at math. Like, yeah. I can take 120 and give you 20% and tell you right off the bat. And I talked to a lot of people and they couldn't
do
that.
50.
24.
That's 24. Oh. Yeah, but close. Like, but
I'm trying to be funny.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And so I just thought it was interesting how, like, that people are good at things and bad at things, but you can't really explain why you're good at things. And how do you get better at a game when you can't get somebody to explain to you why they're good at the game? You know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying here?
I have no idea what you're saying, dude.
Okay.
It's almost like
that's the, oh, yeah. Go ahead.
No, Bobby, no, you no, play a lot of FPSs. I would love to
No, I'm
hear.
Just saying that I feel like you're setting something up here, so I'm just kind of waiting for the punch.
No, that it was really just thoughts on what I, because I'm frustrated in Overwatch not being better than I am.
You're
right
level
now.
Four.
Well, you just have to.
I'm up to 11.
I don't think you need to be too worried about being good at Overwatch at the state of the game. Is in because of the way the game is right now, it's all very random, and very rarely are you going to get a game that is really testing your ability as a player. I mean, it's quick match, and it's all just
because I'm just getting smoked a lot.
Hodgepodge is,
and what you're saying is it's going to get harder.
Until rate comes in, I don't think you need to worry about that.
There are a lot of different variables, too.
There's only six people. You can greatly affect how well your team is doing.
Yeah, for sure. That's what
What are you guys saying? I don't know what you guys.
Well, I think we just need to play with him and hold his hand.
No, Chad's never going to.
No, I think the problem with Overwatch right now is that it's all just quick match, and people are coming in with their own agenda. And you know, you're supposed to be focusing on one objective, but everybody just wants to go out and play deathmatch and shoot each other in the head.
Absolutely.
So you got
that's true.
You got a lot of that going on, and until you get actual ranked play and you start learning counters and synergy between characters, it's not even going to really matter. So that's kind of the point I'm at with Overwatch, because I've been playing a lot of it, and just recently I've kind of been winding down a little bit, and I think it's just because there's not that next level of play just yet.
Okay.
I don't know. I think that if you play your best and you're filling gaps in your team, the percentage of your team winning is going to go up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But at the same time, like, you know, like you see the guy on the other side, and if you're a good player, you shoot him in the face and they die. And if you're a bad player, you shoot for 15 minutes. You might shoot all day and never hit the dude because you just don't have the skill involved to be able to do that. And is that something that you can even learn to get better at? Like, you learn to be a better shooter, a better aimer?
Well, let's get right into it, Chad. Honestly, I think your nature over your nurture is what keeps you from getting good at. And it's probably why you're good at at math. Because you focus in on a problem, you solve it. And then when you're playing games, you focus so much. Like, I'm watching you play, and I'm like, how do you not see the guy to your left? How do you not see the guy to the right? And I'm not trying to make fun of you.
No, I
you literally have blinders on.
Yeah,
and then you get, I do. And I think that's, I mean, you've been gaming for I don't know how many years. We're not going to solve that.
Yeah.
But you go to the jungle, do some ayahuasca, and pray to the jungle.
Whole another side.
Yeah. To be honest, I think it's really almost stripping it down to the basics and developing a foundation of general FPS abilities. There are transitional things that you learn from. I would say Counter-Strike has taught me the most about FPSs.
Yeah, and I'm going to get into that. So we'll see. We'll see if that helps.
I could bring into Call of Duty. I could bring into Overwatch and or even MOBAs. Like not MOBAs, essentially, but yeah, pointing and clicking and just paying attention to map awareness and everything else. I think it's once you develop a strong foundation and kind of understanding. Just those like key elements, like placing your crosshair, you know, like around headshot level or kind of anticipating where the enemy is. And of course, learning the game itself.
Yeah.
Overwatch, it's got so many different characters, so many different maps and elements that
although
it's,
I wish there
it's
was
a game
more,
with more time that you explore, you'll get better at, I'm sure.
I wish there was more characters that didn't require you.
Yeah, we talked about this last week.
No, I'm going to just reiterate.
Yeah.
And also, dude, like, some people are putting in time. Tyler Wilde from PC Gamer did an entire article. He was just playing on practice mode by himself, finding the best way to flank the enemies. And he found all these, like, wall runs that you could do with different characters and behind Bastion on all these different levels. Mm-hmm. And he's got gifts all down the things on how to do it. So, you know, if you put in the time, too,
I guess what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, I can learn a game as well as I can. I can learn the strategy, how to be in the correct position. Those are all learned traits. But at the end of the day, I'm still not going to be able to shoot the guy in the head.
Because you're seeing red.
At the end of the day, because... Like, there's you either have that skill or you don't. And
we're going to have to diagnose that you're like DPI, your mouse sensitivity.
Yeah, maybe, like, that's not something I've ever fucked with.
You feel like you've been getting better since you're at the new setup?
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't had a whole lot of...
played with you.
Yeah, I haven't a whole lot of...
we've been busy.
I know, seriously. Okay, the other thing I wanted to bring up regarding Overwatch, I actually called this over Hype Watch because I think it is a very accurate... definition. I listened to the podcast. I ended up having to listen to the podcast three times last week as I was
because it was just that good.
It was a good episode, I must say. But I needed to do things for it. I mean, overhyped the shit out of Overwatch. And my question to you guys is: just if you are not interested in first person shooters, do you still recommend Overwatch?
Yeah, I stated.
No, wait, hold on. Like. Not into FPSs. They don't want to play an FPS.
Yes.
Why do you think that Overwatch is so different than any other FPS?
You're going to make a lot of PC gaming friends, first of all. It's so big and social. Second of all, if you're a PC gamer and you're not into the FPS, this is a great place to start.
It's very casual.
Again, I'm going to start overhyping again. The losses don't feel that bad.
I know, but you're not interested in an FPS, this is...
Doesn't matter.
At the end of the day, it's an FPS character.
It's like if a young lady isn't very attractive, but she has a lot of other traits, you're going to be attracted to her. You know, you don't have to. It's got so much so much to offer.
All right, Bobby, what's your thoughts on this? If you're not into FPSs, do you recommend Overwatch?
I've woken up next to some boo.
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
I would still recommend it. I don't
really.
This is a lot like other FPS games where you take Battlefield, you take Call of Duty, every character that you play, you have to be good at what you were talking about earlier, shooting people in the head. In this game, there are many characters that you can play that don't necessarily need to be good at that. A lot of characters, more than any other quote-unquote FPS. So, yeah, I mean, I'd still recommend it. There's a lot to like about this game aside from the whole first-person point of view perspective aspect. I don't know. It's a weird hybrid of some different types of games. I think at the state it is in right now, like it's a great game, but I think it's going to get even better over time. So yeah, jump on the hype train.
It's got Moxie,
and you're with them, Chi. Also, you think even if
that's just based off of just understanding my personal friends list. I have friends on Battle.net that are strictly Diablo players or Hearthstone players, and those who are diehard FPS players that still have not picked up Overwatch, so I'm practically begging for them to spend that $40. Because to me, as a, you know, as someone who's casual or who plays, you know, mostly strategy games, it's, if you're a PC gamer, you're most likely being involved in a social community and social gaming in some sort of way. And for me, it's mostly about, yeah, jump the bandwagon, join all the other PC gamers in this overhype.
Can't beat them, join them.
Watch, yeah, basically. Okay.
You had a friend particular who said, bullshit, and now he's, yeah. I see him more than anybody else, and that's not hyperbole.
Yeah, for sure.
Kevin's on there more than anybody. Yeah.
The guy we're actually doing the DL Gaming Esports, the Digilogic Esports with,
there's a fourth member, sixth member to the DL Gaming. Mm-hmm. His name's Kevin. He's handling all the esports side.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to talk about with Overwatch, this will be brief. I have Overwatch for PC, obviously, but I also picked it up. I also have it for a console because of my work, and I also got the free 50 pack from work. I got the nice. Free boxes. So I went in to try to link my stuff together. I linked my accounts together on Battle.net, and the 50 boxes aren't going to contribute. My console account and my PC account, even though they're linked, don't share unlocks. Do you think that's bullshit?
That
or
what? It
sucks.
Is linked.
That really does.
Is it your level?
Nothing. I haven't seen any link.
To, though. I don't know. I don't know much about consoles, but I'm not surprised by that.
Really? Like,
are there games that do share unlocks like that?
Yeah, Smite. If you go to Smite, you can play on the console. And, you know, when I linked my Smite to my PC, it unlocked the God Pack right off the bat because I had already unlocked it for PC.
I can totally see you buying, let's just put it into perspective, 10 boxes on PC and then going to your console and not being able to open it. I get it because different sales might be going on. They might lose money. I get that. But if you get a certain skin, you should have that across.
Nope, it doesn't. No unlocks or not.
They'll probably fix that.
I don't know. I just thought that was bullshit.
With enough complaints, I'm sure they will. But right now, it would be too costly for them. And on top of that, it's maybe just extra work.
Why would you have to open any more boxes anyway, Jen?
I know.
You have everything under the
he
sun.
He wants everything on both consoles.
You guys think,
best
I mean,
of both worlds.
There's so much hyperbole. Literally every, if I were to say the top 8 skins that I want,
he's
got
still
all,
butthurt
that's
about
that's fucking
this.
Bullshit, man.
All right, Emilio, I want you to do something for me. See that next line on our show notes? Wait, don't say anything yet.
Personations.
I want you to shout it like you're angry. While you're shooting, pretending to shoot a bow, but say it fast.
As I release the bow.
Yep. Okay. As you release the bow.
So I would go, and then I go. You're gonna want Taco Bell.
Are you trying to be Hanzo right now?
Yeah.
I don't think that's close.
Oh, is that close? Oh, is that what I was
doing? Yeah. You're gonna want Taco Bell. How is that?
Stop it.
I don't know.
Somebody was like, somebody said that to me, and I was like, oh my God, it does sound so like, right.
Now that you said it.
You don't want to talk about?
You going to want to talk about?
No, I mean, next time I hear it. Now that it's in my head.
Okay,
I'm the only one that doesn't hear this at all.
I don't hear it. I don't see that.
I don't hear it either.
We're just bad.
Once we start playing again, okay. That's all we'll hear.
That was it for that one. I wanted to see if it worked. Should we get into actual games?
Jesus Christ, that was a lot of.
I know this stuff. That was all Overwatch stuff that I'd.
And there's more in the news anyway. But okay,
now does somebody else want to talk, or should I get into the games I've been playing? Because
I say let's move on from Overwatch for now.
So I guess I'm talking because nobody else played any games or what? I played Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, which might be the worst name of a game.
Shantae.
Yeah, that I've ever heard of. It's a 2D side scroller, pixel graphics, and you basically play as a genie that's lost her powers, and she attacks by whipping her hair. And this all sounds terrible, but it's actually a really good game. I was having a blast playing.
I mean, Bayonetta was probably the most awesome hair whipping game.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
So this game's got really good reviews on Steam. Again, it's called Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. It's a platformer. You go back and forth on the map. The map's kind of open, and you can kind of go where you want on it. And you get new abilities, and it unlocks more sections of the map. And there's hidden objects to find and everything like that. It all in all,
really bad from the outside, but this must be one of these things.
Yeah, all in all, I picked this game up and played this game instead of Overwatch this week, which can kind of tell you either how uninterested I am in playing Overwatch or in how good this game is. The things that I would say about this, it is so overly sexual. Like, every girl is a huge-breasted woman, and they find ways to put her in skimpy outfits and all. So it kind of got stale a little bit, but the humor kept it going. It tries to be funny. It doesn't always succeed, but there was some really funny parts into it.
Did you like this better than Shovel Knight?
Yes.
Cool.
And it must be a sequel because it talked about things that I didn't know anything about, like I was supposed to know them. So I don't know, maybe it's worth playing the other one first, but I was still having fun doing it. And the abilities you get, you know, like you can get the hat that lets you slow fall and different things. So it was all in all, it was a blast. It's only a couple bucks on Steam. So I highly recommend Shantae and the Pirate's Curse.
I would say that would be a really fun cosplay. It's cheap.
I mean, if you can pull off Shantae, more power to you.
Just like whip the hair back and forth.
Hey!
Yeah, you could maybe...
I can't believe you just did that.
Yeah. So that was one of the games I was playing.
I made Bobby laugh on a run, I think. Or did you cough?
Oh, no, yeah, I was just...
fuck, man.
we made Bobby react.
Bobby, you played Day of the Tentacle?
Yeah. The Invisalign's coming out for this.
Oh, yeah.
Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah. I might be talking more than...
I thought he had made him laugh. He spit out his Invisalign. God damn it.
Oh, God.
Well, quick note on Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. That was in a recent Humble Bundle monthly pack that I had gotten. I highly recommend the Humble Bundle monthly. You can, for like $10 to $12, they give you, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 games. There's always one really good game, and there's a couple like really decent games. Mm-hmm. Shantae was in there. In those packs, I've gotten Mad Max, Rocket League, drawing a blank on some other ones, but like quality games. Humblebundle.com.
But you haven't played the Shantae's game yet.
Have not. Although Team Tom has reviewed this. Not on our website, but he's got a review up somewhere, so I'd recommend checking that out.
Quick interjection to Mad Max was my dark horse for Game of the Year last year. I bought it recently for $9.99 on G2A. That's a fucking steal because it's $60 on Steam.
But, well, you just heard you could have got the Humble Bundle $12 and gotten
that,
other games.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I bought it. I have to buy two.
Or if you watch my stream, you could win a giveaway.
I have to buy
Mad Max.
Yeah. So I bought it so Steam could give it. And everything's getting all jumbled. But anyway, I bought two copies because I bought it on G2A without the Steam Shield. And Bobby, you say you go with or without the Steam Shield?
I've never used it before.
Wow, because it costs like $2.
Because I always use the Steam Shield.
Yeah.
But I'm paranoid.
But these people, anyway, so my problem was resolved within like 12 hours.
Even without the Steam Shield, right?
Yeah, and it was weird because if it was for me, I wouldn't care that much. It was $10, whatever. But it was for somebody who won something on Steam, on Cheese Stream.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, I hope this guy doesn't think we're full of shit. And so,
even though we are full of shit,
yeah. Well,
he was a new follower, and he had literally joined during the time of the raffle and given me a follow.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, of course, I'm glad that he won the game. But he
was very fortunate.
He was probably one of those search bar hunters where if somebody's doing a giveaway or a raffle, if you just type in the word giveaway. And if the title says giveaway now, they just hop in for the 2 minutes, try to win something, and then on to the next one.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been that. He could have not. You never know. It's the internet.
Serial winners.
Everybody is
I'm a serial winner. I don't know if you know this.
Right?
Bobby, where were we
at? So you did get the game, though?
I got the game.
The moral of the story is don't use G2A Shield. Is that what the moral is?
In this case, yeah. I only buy from people that have really good ratings, like 95 and above. So.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can tell if they have a lot of sales and what the percentage of good feedback they've gotten. But yeah, I've never used it. I've had issues in the past, maybe 2, maybe 3 issues, and they've been solved even without Steam Shield. So yeah, I don't see much of a point to
G2A Shield, not Steam Shield. But
oh yeah, G2A Shield.
Yeah, well, man. You took the Invisaligns out. We only have 15 minutes for you to talk. You better hit it up.
I can hear your teeth getting more crooked as you speak.
You're turning more and more British, I think, is what we got.
Take that, United Kingdom.
And there goes our European.
We actually had somebody jumped in, I forget, on the Steam group talking about the bad teeth and all on
my
on
awful
ours.
Stereotype.
He comment. Said I was. He said I was right, and then called me fat. So it was a it was a wash for me.
Yeah, for sure. It was a draw.
Yeah.
All right. So I started playing Day of the Tentacle maybe about 2 weeks ago. I picked this game up because it was on sale. This, of course, is the remastering of the original LucasArts game from the early 90s, sequel to Maniac Mansion.
Oh, this
is
a sequel?
I believe it was on the Nintendo.
I'm not sure I knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. Day of the Tentacle is technically a sequel, but it really doesn't. I think it's kind of the same characters. I never played Maniac Mansion. But it's a good game. I mean, it's everything you would expect from a remaster from the guys who did this are Double Fine. You know, a lot of the old people from LucasArts in their 90s heyday went over to Double Fine. Tim Schafer, Ron Gilbert, people like that. David Grossman.
Is this point and click?
It is. And what I like about this remaster is that at the push of a button, you can switch between the original game and the remastered version. And I don't think I've seen that. And any other ones.
Have
you played
yeah.
Grim Fandango? Some of you could do in that one.
Grim Fandango did that.
Oh, you could? Yeah. I really like that. I played Leisure Suit Larry, which was a remaster, and I really enjoyed that. But it was the original game in spirit, but you could definitely tell it was a newer take on it. This one, I just like the fact that you can flip back and forth within an instant, because a lot of times I get to a part and I'm like, I wonder what this looked like originally. And it even brings up the menu bar at the bottom, which I think they had up until the Sam and Max games. They had the menu bar where you would click on use, look at, or give to, and then you'd click on the object in the world. So sometimes I just like to go back to that for nostalgic purposes. But it's a good game. I think it holds up in the point-and-click genre. I know that's not for everybody, but I like it. It's weird playing this type of game because you have to take it at a slower pace. I feel like these modern games were so used to having everything quick and at such a faster pace, but these ones you really have to stop and think, and you get stuck, and then you kind of fool around for a little bit, and there were a lot of times where I just wanted to give up and was like, ah, screw it, or look up the answer to the puzzle, but I'm trying not to do that. Kind of ruins the game a bit when you do it.
At the same time, your time is very valuable, too. That's another way to look at that.
But, you know, this is one of those games that I'm kind of playing in between rounds of Heroes of the Storm. So when I play games like that, I don't feel
it's
like
your
I'm
new Stardew Valley.
Yeah.
That's why it's 175 hours for him to be here.
Exactly. How long is this game? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's so variable on these types of games because it really depends on how fast you figure out these puzzles. And puzzle games are always interesting because I feel like they're cultural as well. I know I started playing Monkey Island a little bit, maybe a couple years ago, the original one. And I was listening to a podcast or maybe heard an interview or something like that, or had read something where one of the developers had said they ran into an issue with one puzzle because in the UK, they don't really have the term monkey wrench. And one of the puzzles took a monkey and something else, and you made a monkey wrench. And everyone in the UK got confused by that and couldn't get past that point.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So you got to take a lot of those things into consideration. You know, I did play those newer ones, Deponia. I played the Deponia series.
Oh, yeah. You liked those ones.
I did enjoy those, but some of those puzzles didn't make a bit of sense. And I kind of thought that was a little messed up, although I didn't figure out until the second game that you could hold like spacebar or shift and it would show you all the interactable objects on the screen. I'm like,
oh,
well,
that would help.
That
like
cheating.
Yeah, like me being, yeah, that's a cheating method, right?
Yeah.
I beat Skyrim the first time without knowing that you could run.
What?
I walked through that whole game.
Wow.
And you still love the game?
I love that game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Did you track your total play hours?
Yeah.
That's big. It's like 450 hours on Skyrim.
Yeah. And a good, huge percentage of that just lost or walking.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I was stopping to smell the flower.
Some lazy Emilio.
Yeah. But I hope they keep doing this with these old games. I mean, they did it with Grim Fandango. They did it with Day of the Tentacle. I think it was a Kickstarter that did Leisure Suit Larry, and I loved those games back in the day. I'm really hoping we see.
As a 12-year-old, I loved Leisure Suit Larry.
Oh, yeah, everyone did.
I never played it. I'm pretty sure it was perverted.
Yes, it was.
And that's why when
no games
at the when Bobby's talking, I'm a little, like, I just I can't picture or imagine anything at all, just because these are the games that I avoided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they were fun, for sure.
More on, like, not being able to culturally translate something. Chad, do you remember the New York City badass MMA fighter?
Yes.
Brooklyn badass, that guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name. But anyway, he goes by the badass, right?
Yeah.
But he was fighting in Japan a lot. And they said, you can't go by badass because literally it turns into diarrhea. Badass is like bad poo or whatever.
Okay, gotcha. Oh.
So they're like, we call you Muscle Hammer. He's like, Muscle Hammer. He's like.
I call my penis the Muscle Hammer.
Exactly. Exactly. He's like, everybody's going to think I'm a big cock. I played one game.
Did he actually go by that name, by the way?
No, they went by, there was a collection of them. They went by the Hammer House.
That's
how they got started. But also, just very quickly, we did games coming down out this week, like 3 weeks ago. It was Hero Defense, Haunted Island. And I was like, dang, doesn't this look sweet, everybody? Like, it's tower defense, and you're using heroes instead of towers, and you move them around. Chad, you said it looked like poop.
I must not have been on this episode because I don't remember this at all.
You just blocked it from your memory because
it was so bad. I blocked it from my memory.
So I was looking forward to it. I played it off of Team Tom's account for probably 15 minutes.
Really, you're giving a review off 15 minutes?
Yeah, really bad voice acting, no inspiration. I can't recommend it. And it was on sale for like $9.99. There's so many better tower defense games out there. So
I feel like tower defense has seen his days.
Yeah,
maybe. I love those games, though.
Oh, I can't stand those games.
Really?
But that's just me personally.
You never liked one, though.
The only one I really liked.
On the phone?
It was a Vita game, actually. It was called Pixel Junk Monsters. And you play as a dude, and he runs around and picks up coins, but you can only set up towers with the dude. So
you're talking to the segment of our listeners that have a Vita.
No, which is exactly zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure.
Okay, cool.
No, but go on about the intricacies of the game.
I did actually play a mobile game this week. I believe Emu Killer recommended a game. It was called Soda Dungeon. The game basically is you play as an adventurer who wants to go into dungeons, but he's too scared to go into dungeons. So he gets these guys, he hires these guys to go into the dungeons for him, but he goes to the tavern, and the tavern only sells sodas. So he gets these people that are all hyped up on sodas.
That's so funny.
And gets them to go in the dungeon, and then when they all run away because they all take too much damage, he comes in and collects the gold from and the loot from him, and then you go. So the game is improving your tavern to get more soda junkies and stuff in there.
That's funny.
And also improving the shop.
Are they bringing you loot from their adventures?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So it's basically you play as these guys, but it just puts a wrapper around it like you're playing as somebody else.
What was that that game we played that was like that? You were guild mastered?
Guild of Dungeoneering?
Yeah. Was it similar?
Similar to that.
Okay.
But, you know, a whole different gameplay. This is more like turn-based like Final Fantasy or whatever. It's one guy's turn. Are you going to attack? Are you going to heal? Are you going to do your special? That sort of thing. It was fun. I wouldn't say I was hooked on it.
I like the sound of it.
It's free to play. One of the things that's cool, so you get currency in game, like money, gold, whatever, coins.
Mm-hmm.
They have a no ads that you can buy. You can purchase the no ads for $1 million. What was I saying?
I don't know. Nobody cares, really.
So in this mobile, it plays. Well, yeah, you had it plays ads, but if you can spend $1 million, a million of the cash in currency, and you could say no ads, which is kind of interesting, right? Like you can spend the
usually you can. Oh, well, in game currency.
Yeah, the currency
earned through the game
to turn off the ads.
That's cool.
Spend the money when you could spend the time, guys?
Yeah, exactly.
Is it multiplayer?
No, it's single player only.
No, interesting that they would promote that.
Anyways, I thought it was interesting, but not something that was going to hook me. But give it a go, Emilio, if it seems like your style.
I need a game right now. I've been playing Downwall, which is also
that game's terrible.
Also a PC game. It's fun.
Do we all play mobile games? Because I definitely do not. I can just say that.
Bobby?
I would imagine you'd play at work when it's really slow.
No.
Yeah, especially something that's like, you can play a little bit and then like come back to it. There's a few games like that.
I do. Like I do Star Wars game is so good. I prefer to watch streams on my phone.
Oh, good for you.
But that's like, that's what I do. I like to YouTube about certain video games.
Bobby, you mobile?
Yeah, I play Hitman Go and Lara Croft Go. Those are the only mobile games I play. And I heard they're coming out with a Deus Ex Go and,
really?
Oh God, so many more. Life is Strange Go. Like a bunch of other. Yeah, a bunch of other games.
Bobby, stop.
No, I don't know if I'm going to play these other ones.
No, I don't get it. All right, what else?
You just listed five Go games, and I said stop. All right.
Oh, okay.
You are the worst pun.
That wasn't a pun.
No,
you listed five Go games.
Different level.
Your jokes are terrible. I'm gonna just say your jokes are the worst ever.
I might be drunk.
Yeah, you might be. For sure you are. All right, Chi, talk about yourself.
Yes, so this is great. This is finally my time to just kind of, contribute with a little segment. My segment is going to be called The Twitchy Diaries. Thanks, Amelia, to that. And
the Twitchy Diaries, I like
Twitchy
it.
Diaries. So, as you know, I am the Twitch streamer in the group. And I appreciate anyone who's come by my streams, said hello, name dropped DL Gaming.
Yep.
I'm trying to incorporate DL Gaming as much as possible in my stream. And you guys are truly the backbone behind me streaming again, because I'm an off again, on again streamer. And you guys motivated me to really get back on at least for 2 days a week to stream. And so the purpose of the segment is just to kind of, talk upon what happened this week and on my Twitch channel. So MobiusX1, big shout out to him and a couple other people that came by my stream. And, but most importantly, something different happened this week, and that was my viewership. I had over 150 viewers or so, it says. If you don't know too much about the Twitch hemisphere, normally I, on average, would say I get about 15 to 20 something, over 30 on a good day. But with that particular stream, I was getting over 150.
And all right. So
this was Wednesday. So there are two things that happened. First and foremost, I think I was view-botted initially because I was around 85 views and there was probably only 11 chatters. So it seemed like there was 11 people who whose names I fairly recognized and or people that were talking in chat, but it said I had 85 viewers.
Okay.
So
what's a view bot? Because
a view bot,
teach us,
I'm not
noobs,
sure.
Plebs.
I
here.
Really don't know what a view bot is, but I know that people get view botted, where it's a way for one streamer to show up higher in the.
I thought people had to pay for that.
Maybe they do pay, and maybe I have a viewer that supports my stream, and maybe they're paying for me. But I really feel like it's a way to cheat your way to the top.
Yeah.
And I have been follow botted before in the past in my stream, where I literally had 1,000 follows in one day, but they weren't actual real followers. They weren't real.
Huh.
Participants in chat and or people, they were just accounts. So even though it says I'm at 2830 followers right now, take away 1,000 and that's probably my true following pool.
Okay.
And so it was interesting because I wanted to give a huge shout out because I think I did get quite a few new followers and a huge viewership. I think that was legitimate because I was hosted by Warwitch TV.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
You were handling a lot of
Thank
shit.
Thank you. Yeah. It's really a challenge.
What game were you playing at the time?
Overwatch. Of
oh,
course.
Nice.
I've only really streamed Overwatch since the game's come out.
She's way better than me, dude.
She's slightly worse than me.
When you stream and play video games, you can expect, especially if I'm switching my attention from chat to the game, I play almost 100 times better when I'm not streaming, and I can say that just based off of how I play Counter-Strike and when I stream, and then when I play Counter-Strike without streaming, it's complete. My attention levels are very different.
Yeah.
But back to the viewer bots. I did get hosted, and that brought on a huge...
Who hosted you?
Warwitch TV, and he's amazing. I actually follow him.
Cool.
I used to watch stream. He's a great streamer. He cosplays. He's got this amazing podcast voice, and he's just
so he's unlike any of us.
He's next level. Unplug level. He's next level.
Okay.
And so I really appreciate him.
I also tweeted you out, and somebody big retweeted you. So that could have been some of it.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
It was just for me. It was strange getting that many viewers and not feeling like they were real viewers, because I did get hosted. I think you're being humble.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. The chat.
I don't watch streamers, and I was having fun watching.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. And the chat was. It maybe said I had about 20 people in chat, but 150 viewers. Like, how does that work? I really don't know.
When I watch on Twitch, I never contribute to the chat. Like, I'm there to watch. I'm not there to participate. So. And I can't imagine I'm the only one that's like that. And I know there's tons of people that
it's got to be 50%.
Yeah. So if you have 150 viewers, 75 of them, I imagine, are just going to be sitting there watching, you know, like, so it could be.
When I visit Webcam Girls, I never say anything.
Yeah.
I'm so scared.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But no, well, I guess
guess
we'll
72.
Solve
it. Why'd you say that?
Yeah, that's weird.
That's the only thing I've ever.
Oh my gosh. Oh, I don't relate with that, but.
Yeah, sure.
But
you
no,
don't.
I mean, that's my little mystery. That's what I wanted to just kind of let out. It was just.
So you're mostly doing Overwatch?
I'm mostly doing Overwatch. I'm going to be doing it again this Monday.
And tell people one more time where to view you.
Oh, twitch.tv/smoochi, SMOOXCHI.
And it's Monday and Wednesday.
Monday and Wednesday. And
what time?
I usually start my stream in between 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock PST. And I'll run it at least through midnight.
Okay, perfect.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
We did have a listener question, although he didn't put it in the listener question. I'm going to put it in the listener question. If you want to ask us anything, we have a thread in our DL Gaming Steam group. So go ahead and ask us a question. Bobby, if you could get up this one, because he asked a couple different ones, and I had that one specifically. He basically was asking, this is Emu Killer, he was asking about last week, she had mentioned that she was an ergonomic specialist.
Yes.
And had done work as an ergonomic specialist or
sales.
Person.
Yeah,
sales. Yeah. And he has had some surgery and was looking into doing stand desks versus sitting desks.
Yeah.
And was curious on our thoughts on the stand desk. So,
sure.
Chi, we want to kick off the stand desk and discussion on that.
Okay. So it looks like Emu Killer was looking for a stand-up desk, but yes, they are very much on the pricey side. If you ever get one, you want it to be adjustable so you can lower it to sit and or stand at another time. What do I think about these types of desk, and does anyone have one?
Has anybody gamed on a standing desk, first of all?
I have never gamed on a standing desk. I haven't even ever worked on a standing desk.
So
this is my
played Snake
discussion.
At the Apple Store.
Okay, that's close. Yeah. How was your experience with that?
I wanted to sit down.
Okay.
You wanted to sit down.
So I'm going to say at my work, if you get a doctor's note saying that you have some issues with anything, you can get a standing desk.
Mm-hmm.
And they are expensive, but they're like automatic. You can actually power them up and down.
Yes.
But I think there's manual ones where you can just adjust
this manually.
The site, and those are much. The ones that we do at work, I think, are like $5,000 or something like that. They're really expensive. One of my coworkers has one of these desks because he has ass issues, anal fissures. I don't know if you know what those are, but they don't sound good.
New York City badass?
Yeah, they don't sound good at all.
Oh, jeez. Wow.
But, so he ratchets up, he stands up some of the day and ratchets down and I imagine I would like being standing and playing games for a while.
Yeah.
I think it hurts after a while to be just sitting.
I've heard the statement, sitting is the new smoking.
It really is. Yeah. If you sit for extremely long periods of time, it actually does worse for your body than 20 years of smoking will.
Really?
So over the course of 20 years, if you are sedentary for 8 hours a day, it does worse on your body than smoking a pack.
So we should all get stand desks, is what you're saying.
No, I'm saying...
I think it's like a happy medium, right? That's why you need an adjustable one.
An adjustable desk is amazing. When it comes to ergonomics. It's all about mobility. It's like, how do I allow my body to kind of be as flexible as possible? And that's what standing desks do. It keeps you in your best posture. So when you're standing, and if you have it lined up exactly where, you know, your elbows fall at 90 degree, you're facing straight, you're standing. They say back problems, for most back problems, it spawns from the feet. So if you're standing up on a comfort mat rather than or anything else like that, like, and your posture is good, then you're going to be comfortable. And not only that, for me, I would say for standing desks, if you're mostly concerned about price, I get it, because I think for adjustable desks, whether they're manual, they start around at least close to $4 to $5 for a decent one. But if you want to try something out, there are a lot of different options out there. If you just want to see if you can manage standing, for instance, and I'm going to name drop this. I met someone. He works for Ready Desk. And this is a wooden, it's only $150. It's a wooden, it's constructed out of wood, and it has different levels where you basically just take a plank of wood and you put it at a certain height slot where you can put your keyboard and mouse. And then you take another plank of wood and you put it where you would put your monitor. So it becomes eye level, and it sits on any desk. It's compatible with any desk. And then what you do, and then from there, you could always take it down from the desk and put it up when you feel like you're standing. So
that is interesting.
It's compatible with any desk, but I was looking at it. I didn't purchase one, but I was looking at it and I was like, with this be good for gaming though, because for gamers, you know, I can only see myself standing for a small amount of time before wanting to sit down and be comfortable. I actually used to not use a chair. I used to use a balance ball so I would move around, get the blood flowing. And but for you, especially if you've been through surgery, it sounds like you just need to incorporate some variety, because if your body is in a position for too long of time, you just want to change it up. And
Chad uses a traffic cone. I don't know why.
It's true. Well, I used to. Now I got the new setup where I don't need to sit on a pole. I think when I get excited in games, though, I kind of want to stand up. I think if I was playing some Overwatch, I'd want to do standing.
Start throwing some high kicks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm down with the standing desk. If I had the money, I would probably get one right now. But I bought the $69 IKEA table, and I'm happy with that one. But I would for sure would, if I had the $5,000 to spend on this.
You know what's interesting, dude, is like, you primarily sit at work and I primarily stand at work. I can't wait to sit down, and you probably can't wait to like walk around a little bit more.
Yeah, I would definitely come home to a standing desk.
Yeah, for sure. So I think, not to step on anything that she said, she's knowledgeable in all this, but I would say listen to your body. Like if your body's telling you.
Yeah, but you also got to afford it.
No,
there's two things to this.
But also, if you can't afford a standing desk and your body's aching from sitting for so long, fucking take a walk.
Yeah, stop playing games.
And I don't mean that in the metaphorical sense. Literally, go take a walk.
Yeah, seriously.
Get a dog, walk it. Also, you have to be considerate of the fact that you're not used to standing while playing your video games for long, extended periods of time. And your body, just like when you get back into fitness, you have to get used to it. So I understand why you might not want to plunge right away with, you know, a couple $1,000s and then and go with the adjustable desk. So maybe starting off small and just seeing
that
$150 option might be a good start. It may not be the best thing.
And what was the name of the company that did that?
I think it's called Ready Desk.
Ready Desk.
Welcome to our new sponsor, Ready Desk.
It's literally overpriced wood.
We can say that.
It is called Ready Desk. And
it's cool.
It's just a piece of wood that's compatible with any desk, as long as it's a flat surface.
That's kind of badass.
Yeah, it at least it'll train your body to see how it reacts to standing upright.
It's a good starter, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
for sure.
There was also Emo Killer also mentioned something else in his thread. He said at the bottom here. He said. Lastly, do you guys have some attachment to your Steam profile picture? I'm not trying to shit on you or anything, but the old school mouse in the DL is looking a little.
I love that.
Is looking a little outdated. Love the show, guys. I'm bringing this up for a specific reason. We created a new logo specifically for the esports organization. It's like a shield and crest look. It's got the D and the L, and it's got the mic and all.
I have no qualms about using that for our official logo.
We're probably going to stick with this for this season of the ESCA league, and then we're probably going to take a look at updating the logo and doing a refresh on the website, assuming that Bobby has the time as our technical guy to do it. So we're probably going to be with the same kind of look for the next couple months, but then moving forward, we're probably looking to update everything. So we appreciate your feedback, and we definitely can understand what you are saying at that point. Yep. Emilio really loves the logo. So
also, EvoKiller is, I believe, the leader a gaming group called Faction of
Games. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So if you're looking for a group of people to play with, and we're not working out for you because we're so elusive, Bobby.
All three of us. None of you. All four. All four. I'm the only one that responds on. No, that's not true. You guys do too. But we need to be more active on our Steam group. We should be looking there daily, and we don't always get that done.
I just like to kick around Bobby because he doesn't talk and fight back. So it's great.
That's rude.
But anyway, you could join, or you can apply to join Faction of Gamers. That's his gamer group, and
I'm assuming though, if you tell him you're a DL podcast listener, he's going to let you in.
You
got to
have skills because I played with them once, and I didn't get an invite.
Wow!
And that's probably because I had literally the worst night of
Overwatch,
the soccer game.
Oh, Rocket League?
Rocket League. Ever. Ever. I couldn't believe how bad I was playing.
I would never get in if it's based on Rocket League skills.
I am the worst at Rocket League. No,
it was my first time playing the basketball version, too. Hoops. Have you seen that?
He said, yeah, we'll call you. Don't call us.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be around.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so what else are we talking about? Oh, we got some esports stuff. This was all mentioned in the CS:GO primer, so I'm just going to tell you guys, listen to the CS:GO primer if you want to hear my thoughts on CS:GO. But I did watch some CS:GO Gauntlet. I was watching the Digilogic team do their thing. It was really interesting. I learned so much just the first time watching this. It was really interesting. I've been kind of hesitant to watch CS:GO because it's so much first person. And I love the MOBA-esque where it's the top down. You get to see the team fights and everything like that versus CS:GO where it's very much locked in on the individual person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much better than it used to be. So I was having fun.
I also gotta say, it's way more entertaining when you have a dog in that fight.
Yeah, for sure it is.
I literally have a dog in the fight.
Yeah,
And so I was like, oh, God. I was like, at the end of my seat. And
now you know what a sports fan is like because Emilio doesn't like sports.
If you guys have ever tried watching CS:GO and not enjoyed it before and you like our podcast, go check out our team. You might like it because you now have somebody to root for. That's all I'm going to say.
So right now, ESCA does not have their pro league going right now. So ESCA Premier, which is where our team's at, is the top league right now for ESCA. So if you go to twitch.com/ESCA, there's a chance that you'll see our team playing it in it. So.
And that's awesome. They're called Digilogic, which
Digilogic,
is what DL stands for. That should be a trivia question. I bet most of our listeners didn't know what that was.
What?
DL in the DL gaming.
Yeah, we don't use Digilogic
very often.
And I talked about it in our interview, but I'm not involved in Digilogic, neither is Chi, so it's only 50% of us.
You guys ready for news?
Yeah,
let's go. You got anything?
No, let's move right into news.
Cool. Speaking of esports, Manchester United, which is the premier soccer team
I think in
the world.
Technically speaking, I think Manchester United is the biggest sports organization in the entire world.
Period.
When it comes down to how much they're worth in billions of dollars, Manchester United tops everybody else
more
in the
than
world.
Like the New
the
York
Yankees,
Yankees,
yep, all of the Dallas Cowboys, all of that. Manchester United is the top of the board.
So this is very big news indeed to say that Manchester United is bidding on Overwatch teams. And when they say bidding, they're probably that's how the headline read, but they're probably just searching for whoever they're going to outright buy, right?
So we're competing with Manchester United for teams, is
and
what
we're
you're
gonna
saying?
Win.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because once we picked up our CS:GO team, I got my head up on the clouds like I always do.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
who you?
We need to pick up an Overwatch team before anybody knows that they're good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we're probably competing with billions of dollars.
Yeah.
So.
Well, Mike was saying the top CS:GO teams get paid $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah.
Just to be on somebody's team. You
and
know,
that's so. Probably not even close to what, well, it's probably close to, but, you know, the StarCraft teams have been making, you know, when they live in those dorms and play 15 hours a day, they're making a good amount of money
yep.
as well.
Yeah, they are. Okay, that's interesting to know about Manchester United.
Yeah, more Overwatch. Sorry, guys, if you're not playing it, that's on you, by the way. If you're not playing it by now, that's on you. Genji Banbitten, so...
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I don't even want to know.
So
fuck Genji.
So, the way you make the court is, I think two healers heal each other, and that makes a net.
Okay.
Right? Mercy? Two mercies heal each other, I believe. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But two mercies heal each other. That makes a net. Then four Genjis, or two Genjis on each team, and then a Junkrat up top. And he throws a grenade.
Okay.
And they play badminton.
Oh, with the bounce?
To the bounce, yes. And you have to time it right, and it goes back and forth until somebody wins.
Wow.
That's funny. Yeah. That's
impressive. It was pretty cool to watch, actually.
This is on YouTube or something like that?
Yeah, it's all over YouTube, yeah.
Okay.
So somebody got all the stats. I think it was Overwatch Master, didn't you?
MasterOverwatch.com.
MasterOverwatch.net. They keep track of all the stats and everything like
Bobby,
that.
Bobby, you want to do the Master Overwatch?
The most, the highest rank hero is Lucio, or the most.
So if you click on heroes,
he
Bobby.
He contributes to the most wins.
So there's a couple things you can do on Master Overwatch, and we're not getting paid on Master Overwatch, so don't think we're, this is a
we're
bit.
Not getting paid, period.
It's very useful.
We're not getting paid. I know Emilio brings up G2A every week, but we're not actually getting paid by them. This is just us. Being fanboys.
78 cents I've made.
Yeah.
G2A.
So if you're on Master Overwatch, you can go click on the heroes, and then there's a couple columns: win rate, popularity, and KDA and all. So if you click on most of those, Lucio is near at the top. So it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, no, he's just clearly, and I would have said, like, he's easy to play. He contributes a tremendous amount. He's just really good.
He's his healing is just, you don't have to work at it. That's the
Not
thing.
Not just that, but when you're...
Well, I think the biggest advantage with Lucio is his speed, especially in yeah. maps where you have to race to the point and then capture that and then hold it against the enemy. Whoever makes it there first has a significant advantage. So in a case, whenever I play that map, I always make sure we have a Lucio on the team just so you can do that initial speed boost at the beginning, rush the point, get there, hold it, cap it, and then defend it. Because I find it's much easier to defend than it is to be on the offense.
No, for sure.
For sure. What is interesting here, if you click on popularity, Bobby, the popularity is complete. Like, Mercy is number one and Lucio is number two. I would not have thought of that at all. Like, Reaper and Bastion and, like...
Well, like Bobby said, I think everybody on one of those capture point maps... Everybody's going to be a Lucio, so he's probably picked primarily a lot of times.
Don't move it. Don't move it, Bobby. What do you think the least popular character is? Go ahead. Give a choice.
Zenyatta.
Yeah, I would guess Zenyatta.
I'm going to say Zarya right off the bat.
Symmetra?
And here's the crazy thing about
and
Symmetra.
And the answer is Symmetra, yeah.
Well, here's the crazy thing. She has the highest win percentage of any character.
I was going to say, yeah, with Symmetra.
Well, let's find out. What is
she's not a character to play. But it should be noted that Zenyatta is second to last, mm-hmm. and Zarya is fourth to last.
And Winston's right there. Wow. Yeah.
Winston, the more I play, the more I find Winston to be less effective than other tanks.
I feel like
I think his damage...
Numerous Winstons is good, like more than one, but yeah. Just one Winston doesn't do much on the map, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's funny because I think Mercy is the most played character and also has the lowest win rate. So keep...
almost always a Mercy on the map.
Yeah, though. Take that with a grain of salt, but...
You also have to ask what they're basing this on. And this is a pretty good win rate, though, because with Heroes of the Storm, they say a hero should be within 45 to 55% win rate. Like, that's ideal. If anything is outside of that range, there's a problem that needs balancing. And the lowest win rate here is 47.9% Mercy, and the highest win rate is 61.9%, which is Symmetra. So Symmetra, Torborn, Lucio, those are the characters that are a little high on the win rate scale and probably need some balancing. Yeah, Bastion right up there too, which I don't know. I just don't like that guy at all.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see how when we're moving forward on Overwatch, what sort of characters. If you had told me before we went in here that Lucio would have been like the highest, I would have told you you're an idiot and and you need to get your fucking head checked.
It's the positivity that he brings to the team.
Yeah,
he just gets everybody hyped.
And if you heard at the beginning how Bobby has an exact duplicate on his voice pack.
I was the voice actor for Lucio.
Lucio actually was voiced by Bobby.
Yeah.
Hey everybody, let's win.
Yeah.
So Ubisoft announces their Bridge Crew. That's a game called Bridge Crew. It's a four-player VR Star Trek game.
Oh, okay. I've heard of this.
And we've been talking about like them lacking a VR, lacking a killer app. Maybe this is it. And specifically when we said that, we were saying that Bethesda hasn't made a VR game. Ubisoft hasn't come out with a VR. So this is maybe the first AAA title.
Is this an official sanctioned Star Trek, or is this...
Literally said Star Trek, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would imagine
this could be really good. I mean, there were a few games that attempted to do this without the VR.
Yeah, what was the one that we liked? Pulsar?
The good one was Pulsar Lost Colony. That thought was actually done very well. The first one we played, I can't remember the name of it, but it was...
Artemis.
Artemis, that's right.
And that one was not too great.
We enjoyed it, though. We had some fun there.
I liked it.
Artemis?
Yeah.
Nah.
But yeah, you guys, because Bobby was the captain and he had to do everything.
Did you hear the incredulousness on that Artemis? Artemis?
You had to factor in the friend factor. The fact that we all play together
makes
any game fun, but that game just, it did not have any objectives and it was lacking in some way.
It felt like an alpha.
Yeah, it was like a tech demo.
Yeah.
Pulsar Lost Colony, however, that game was actually a lot of fun. You could do a whole lot, and I think this one, Ubisoft's behind it. It's got the Star Trek name brand. It's got VR support. I think that'll be big.
Maybe in the future they can get... I mean, how many people are on a bridge? Way more than four. Like eight? Six to eight?
Yes. Eight.
So maybe eventually, but four seems like a weird number.
I think
Artemis had what? Like,
yeah, for co-op, four is ideal.
Yeah.
That's so a classic controller plug-in.
What do we think it is? Remember. It's probably Captain.
The like first in command,
weapons,
right?
Weapons. You don't need a first in command. If
Riker. I'm playing as Riker.
If you only have four people, you don't have a second command.
No, so I'm captain, having sex with weapons, the communications, with the alien.
Engineering. Okay. Shut up, Chad. I got it.
Navigation?
Pilot. Yeah. Like some sort of
you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Fuck you. What else we got?
So we're going to skip that one. The Division is handing out permabans just like Overwatch did on First Time Offense. More power to them. Keep it coming.
This should, across the board, everybody should be permabanning everybody.
Everybody should be permabanned.
Yep.
According to Chad.
Yeah. You should not own the software. You're just banned.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
We're finally going to wrap... Guys, our episodes have been getting longer and longer because we have more and more content. But if you're not interested in any of these interviews, just don't listen to them.
Speaking of which, we've got a Mobius interview at the end of this right here.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying this.
Yeah, correct.
Cool. Thanks for cutting in.
Yeah,
Captain.
That's
Obvious.
What I do. And your jokes are terrible.
They were today.
Yeah, they were.
All right. So. Right after this, I believe we're probably going to... Oh, the other one is a separate podcast.
So. The CSGO one will also be up, but that's a separate podcast.
We have a listener interview right after this. And next week, hopefully, probably about 3 weeks late, we will have our Undertale
If you guys ever finish podcast. Playing the game,
Taz's the only one who finished.
Let me know.
But he did it the easiest way possible, by the way. So
I did not. Okay, so we're doing an Undertale one this week. We got a CSGO one coming out. This one's coming out Tuesday. It's got our listener spotlight at the end. We're doing more listener spotlights. Hit up Emilio because everybody wants to do Emilio in the booty. So hit him up if you want to.
I'm wide open.
Yeah, you are wide open. So hit him up if you want to do the listener spotlight because he will help you out. Yeah.
You got anything else?
Are we talking about next week? What are we playing next week?
I don't know. I'm talking to Chi right now.
Okay.
Well, what's the game of the month going to be once we beat Undertale?
It's going to have to be something.
You mean the game of the bi month?
Yeah.
Because that's what we're at right now.
Bobby, we need something that's an hour or 2 hours long. What do you think? What would you recommend?
An hour or two?
I would recommend a multiplayer game that we could all beat together.
Overwatch? Because we're playing anyway.
I don't think this works unless we do a single player game that has a lot to talk about with the story.
Isn't like Never Alone or Never Home or Welcome Home?
Gone Home?
Yeah. Isn't that like an hour?
How about that Freddy game?
Five Nights at Freddy's?
We should bring Lab Monkey in on this too to discuss, but I know he had talked about maybe a game similar to Gone Home or Life is Strange or one of those games that is less game, more story.
Right.
Yeah, I would like that.
That's what I thought I was getting into with Undertale.
It's more classic RPG, isn't it?
We'll have to talk about this later, but if nobody wants to finish this game, there might be a reason.
Well, finish the game and then tell me.
Yeah.
All right, so are we wrapping up or what?
I believe so. Bobby, you got anything?
Nope.
You sure? You're about to say something.
I'm fairly certain he was. No.
Was I?
Oh, you're probably putting your Invisalign back in. Chad, you got anything?
That's it.
Chi, say something. No, say something profound, Chi.
Something profound?
Yeah.
That was it. She just did. She said something profound.
I'm going to do another voice.
Do the worst impersonation that you can.
Okay, I'm going to go with Mufasa. Simba. You deliberately disobeyed me, and also, it's the end of the podcast. Oh, that's getting worse as I go.
No, that's so money, you don't even know.
From now, it's so bad.
It's pretty bad.
I've been drinking.
Oh my gosh.
But I can do it.
We're going to have to cut.
No. You got to commit.
Commit to it.
The rule to comedy is commitment.
So finish this up, because it's a slow death right now. Go.
I can't. Okay. I have no more voice. I've been talking too long. That's what happened. I don't blame it on that. Right. So speaking for Chad, Bobby, Chi, and myself, titties. Oh, man, so bad.
Welcome to another DL Gaming Podcast. This is Ender's Logic. I'm talking to Mobius X1, a.k.a. Christopher. What's going on, man?
Not much. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Let's see. It's been a while since we did one of these fan interview. You said you've listened to like the 7 or 8 episodes and you haven't heard one yet, so that, we're dropping the ball. I think there's so much going on right now with the esports and interviewing ourselves and the addition to Chi, you're going to be the first one in a long list of people who have signed up.
Awesome. Sounds awesome.
Cool. It was funny because for those that want to know how to do this, we have a forum or a post on our Steam group that you can sign up to be interviewed, basically, and you can pick whoever you like to interview you. And what's funny is I'm the only one that's ever been picked for an interview. So there's been like 5 or 6, and there's like 5 more lined up, and they've all picked me. Can you illuminate us, Mobius, on why maybe I'm the one that's been picked? Chad hates it, by the way. Chad was bitching. He's like, hey, there's 5 guys that want to be interviewed by you, so you might want to get on that. I don't know why they don't pick anybody else.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I mean, I went on there and I saw that you guys had that, and I think, honestly, like why I picked it was because I saw either your post or I just listened to the podcast. Mm. Maybe you just come off as friendlier. Not to say that like Chad and...
No, he's an asshole. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of interesting that like all 5 people, they all want you to interview them. Maybe
I'm just trying to I'm not trying to gloat or at all. I'm just trying to rub it in Chad's face.
No, man, do
pretty
it.
Upset because he put this whole thing together. He put the list together, and then nobody's picking him. Maybe he'll get a mercy one, so like somebody's gonna feel bad for him here for a second.
Maybe just say like you can't do interviews for like a month, and then no one wants to do an interview for a whole month.
Yeah. Cool. So let's see, how long you been PC gaming?
I don't even remember. So the first instance of PC, not even PC gaming, like, okay, so back in the 90s, I remember my parents brought home this, I think it was an Apple, actually, with the, like, a flight sim, and it was, like, wireframe, like, vector. Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, vector graphics.
Like, none of us could figure out how to get it working, so we just kind of ditched it, and I think my parents used it for, like, spreadsheets. A few years later, I was super into, like, the consoles, like most of us were, like, kids born in the 80s, we were, like, you know, SNES, NES. So it was pretty console heavy. I mean, then my parents brought home some computer called like an Aptiva or something like that. It came with like a bunch of discs and a bunch of floppy disks. I remember like Nickelodeon games, like a bunch of MUDs, like the mold. I think Myst was like the big one.
So MUDs were, what were those, multiplayer, right?
The multi-user dungeons, like the text-based ones.
Yeah. Wow.
So my sister, she was in high school at the time. She was a huge Myst player, which I tried to get into the game, but I hated the fact that I had to have a notepad.
I'm the exact same way, dude.
I was like, I couldn't do it.
Did Granted, you hear us bring that up, the successor to Myst?
I think, I wasn't sure if it was you or somebody else. I do remember it was a common complaint like among people who have played that game.
Put a notepad inside the game. That easy.
I mean, couldn't figure it out back then. I don't know. But like back then, Myst... I wish I could remember the name of it. There's this cyberpunk game, and I'll never forget it.
No, you literally just did. Forget the
name. Fair enough. There's this game. It was very text-based, and it had this awesome, like, vibe, and I wish I could find it. I've been, like, searching Google for, like, years trying to figure this game out, and I just can't fucking remember it. But I played a lot of I remember, like, loading up the demo for, like, Duke Nukem and, like, Doom. And all those first-person shooters, and like I try to convince a bunch of my friends, like, "Hey, come over, check this out," and they're like, "Whatever, we have this PlayStation 64, we'll play that." So, and then
you didn't even get into the PlayStation realm.
I did heavy because as a military brat, my parents moved a lot. So, for about a year when they were in Korea, I moved with my grandparents. So we had like no internet there, none. So our computer never got any new games. I remember playing Warcraft, and it took me like 6 months to try to figure it out because I was always like going between that and like some wrestling game my brother got because he was huge into like wrestling games on the PlayStation. Then from there, got into 1.6 Counter-Strike.
Let me stop you real quick.
Okay.
The MUDs. You played MUDs?
I tried playing them. I wasn't very good at them because they were like, I mean... kind of advanced for when I was a kid, like 8 or 9 years old. But I remember just reading them. My sister mainly played them, so I remember watching like over her shoulder playing them and typing the commands and playing with other people over the local network they had at her school.
Is your sister still a PC gamer?
Not so much.
Yeah. That's pretty hardcore early on. The only reason I ask is because a lot of the lingo that I have currently came from EverQuest, and a lot of that lingo came from MUDs. So things like mobs, I believe, came from MUDs.
MUDs, they really like, shit, they coined so many terms and phrases. Yeah.
Conning, like just a bunch of stuff. So that's a lot of leet speak originated in MUDs. So anyway, let's fast forward back to Counter-Strike 1.6.
So yeah, okay. So every time I'm doing PC gaming, there's always like a 2 to 3 year, maybe 1 to 3 year gap of not PC gaming for whatever reason. Either it's like no access to a computer, but so it must have been like I don't remember, like 98, 99, like 1.6 came out as a mod. I remember playing Half-Life. I just loved 1.6, and I remember even before that, so I moved from Tennessee and moved to Virginia, and there was a big gap between PC gaming. And at that time, you know, they had the Voodoo cards. So, like, the Voodoo cards were, like, driving a lot of graphics. I remember going to a buddy's
house. Dude.
Oh, it was amazing. Like, granted, the cards now look like garbage, but, like...
Yeah, there was a commercial on TV, dude. I remember there was a kid. there was like, we can solve the world's problems. And it showed like giant fruit and kids flying. And they're like, no, we're going to use it to make video games.
See, I never saw that.
Yeah. I was like, what? But yeah, I remember I got the Voodoo 3. I was so, whatever that means these days. I don't know what that means. But I was so excited.
3 megs of graph. I don't know. Yeah, I remember I go over and hit my buddy's house, and his grandfather worked for NASA, I think. And he has giant, like, 21-inch Trinitron CRT monitor, which was like the shit back then.
Right.
He was playing Unreal Tournament on his Voodoo card. I was like, oh my god, this thing is like so smooth. It looks amazing.
Yeah.
And then he loads up StarCraft. And I was like, what is this? And that's when I was introduced to StarCraft the first time. And that's like, StarCraft was like the first game like I was introduced to, like a lot of like the lead speak we were talking about just now.
Yeah. So quickly, military father, military, and you're in the military. You play tactical games and military games. Damn, dude. You're a warrior.
See, I don't play... Okay, so my parents in the Air Force, they're like, hey, they're A-10 mechanics.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to be around that plane a lot growing up. So I wanted to join the Air Force. I'm in the Army now. But I don't play as many shooter games as I used to. Like 1-6, I tried playing... what's it called? Insurgency?
Oh, yeah, Insurgency, yeah.
That's pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good, yeah.
I'm in like right now I'm in this like PC gaming like lull. Like I'm enjoying the shit out of Overwatch. I got into Hearthstone recently, which is kind of late. I think like 2 years ago.
Doesn't matter. This is a good time to get in.
Yeah, I mean, Overwatch got me back onto Battle.net, so I was like, oh, they have Diablo 3, Hearthstone. But I'm, like, trying to find this game. I think I've talked to you on Steam about this before, but, like, I want to find another MMO feel, like, that gives me that feeling that WoW gave me when I first played it.
And we actually went back and forth quite a bit on Steam about this, but, I mean, it's no secret my thoughts and Bobby's thoughts, I think, are the same, is that nothing is going to hit that right time, right place as Warcraft ever did. I mean, unless there's a fully immersive VR experience that
right exactly
that's what it's going to take. And actually when that happens, I think if you can find a fully immersive VR MMO, people are, and I'm not being facetious here or there's no hyperbole, people were going to die by not eating. People died on WoW already. Babies died because people weren't feeding the babies. So yeah, if it's a VR, it's going to be ridiculous, dude. That's just going to be next level shit. That's like, I don't know. Like, people would rather, already people rather be in, what is it, Norath? Or no, what is this land of Warcraft called?
Azeroth?
Azeroth. People rather be in Azeroth than Earth. So, yeah. If you make something fully immersive MMO, it's, I just scared myself right now.
Have you read the book Ready Player One by Ernest Cline?
No, heard it mentioned.
Read. I mean, I'm not saying it's a masterpiece. Like, I actually got it in a loot crate once and didn't touch it for like a year and a half. I just picked it up by like last year. It's actually pretty awesome. Like anybody like who
Are they
was
talking
like
about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I mean, quick synopsis. Like the guy, it's called like The Oasis. It's basically what we just talked about. Like it's an MMO of like limitless possibilities on VR, and it just talks about how like everybody's pretty much transitioned from like living in the real world to this, and it's like, shit, we may not be that far, but like maybe 10, 15 years from that. Dang. So it's crazy.
Yeah, and it's true. Literally within 15 years, there will be a fully immersive MMO. Yeah, that's going to happen for sure, I think. All right, let's get some less morbid stuff. What's your favorite game ever? And don't say any console games. Do we say console games for that answer? Let's just say, what's your favorite PC game ever?
Favorite PC game ever? Oh, man.
1.6? Overwatch?
I can't say. Overwatch is too young to say favorite game. I've heard people say that. Half-Life, I think, is my favorite PC game.
The first one?
The first one.
Interesting.
It
was such a leap forward, right?
It was amazing. And then I had to choose a second Unreal Tournament. Like that like really instilled like the Tribes 2.
Tribes 2?
I love that game. Tribes 2
was a flop, right?
I don't know if that was flop. I remember going to land centers on base and just like wrecking shit with other people.
Did you play the first one when the first one?
No, was I hot? Didn't. Okay. I said you know, but and then Tribes 2, I was just logging on and.
I mean, not that it, you know, you can love whatever you want. It's all in the eye of the beholder. But commercially, right. I think Tribes 2 fell flat. But and Tribes 1 was like a huge leap forward in multiplayer. But that's awesome, man. You never hear that one. I like that.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, currently, what are you playing?
Right now, mainly Overwatch.
Yeah, dude.
Mainly Overwatch.
I mean, we've had two episodes in a row going about it, but the thing I've been kind of harping on most lately is pros. I don't know what the pros think about it, but pros are having tournaments on it, so that's a thing. But also, Forbes gave it 10 out of 10. So, Forbes, I'm just saying that anybody with basic control mastery can play this game.
And yeah, it's very open to everybody. I mean,
there's never been a game that I think that can bring together new players and pro players the way this game does. Like, you're going to get a kill and feel great about it eventually and pretty easily.
Everybody from like the casual to the pro. I mean, just pick this game up and have fun.
Who's your favorite tune?
Right now, D.Va. But I have a lot of complaints about D.Va.
Yeah, she needs more damage or something.
Yeah, dude. Like, it's just a lot of fun. It's like zipping in and out of like the battle space, like trying to wreck shit, and then like throwing her ult across the map's pretty fun, but. If I can go one on one with like I do with 150 health and I still get my ass kicked, something's wrong.
Yeah, and I feel like, but her second life is not that bad. Like you can die.
Yeah,
you can do a lot of damage.
Why
and
is
you
it
get
my
that alt back pretty quick?
Yeah, why is it my second tune's like her pistol does more damage than her like six guns?
Yeah. I just found out we'll get off of Overwatch in a second, guys. But that bullet reflector thing that she did, the Matrix.
Yes.
Apparently you can push people with that. I got pushed off a ledge with that the other day.
Yeah, you can push the I think if they're like I'd have done it before, but I think there's like a condition in which you can or can't do it. I may be wrong. I'm not entirely sure.
Maybe it's that on plus boosters or something. I don't know. But every time I get pushed around by her, the Matrix is on. But it could be a coincidence. Anyway, so we talked about that too much. What are you most excited about coming up?
Anything? VR.
Yeah. Was it you that was telling me that you just tried it recently?
So I tried it for the first time at DreamHack in Austin. They were having a really like really tiny demo where basically I think you're playing the blue, I think it was called.
Oh yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I just bought that actually.
Yeah, I saw you on Steam. It's good. I mean, it's not even a game. It's like an experience, I guess.
And it's really short. There's maybe three minute experiences. So you're getting maybe I'm adapting because one of them is pretty long. You're getting maybe 14 minutes of content total.
Yeah, does it cost money? I don't know.
Yeah, it's $10.
But oh, yeah, that's not that bad, I guess.
Actually, but if you buy the consumer model, you get three $30 games with it. So
nice. That's so, not yeah,
too bad.
Played the blue, and then I played Space Pirates Trainer.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
that,
dude, I was like fucking Christian Bale in Equilibrium the whole time.
So sick. You feel like what I say, Boondock Saints. Like you're shooting two ways and trying to keep track of. Oh man, that game is so fun.
Then
such a basic concept too.
It is. It's crazy how basic this is, and then you add Throw VR onto it. And it's amazing. But then I tried Oculus like about a month ago.
Yeah.
So I guess Best Buy was doing this like you can have your own 30-minute personal Oculus experience, and they're still running it, I think. I went there
in the store.
Yeah, in the store. You go online, sign up.
Oh wow.
Anyway, it was pretty disappointing though. I mean, personally, the Vive, like I said, personally, it feels like it sits better on my face. I don't have any like ambient light coming from the outside, taking away from the immersion. The fact that the Vive has, I mean, I think Oculus has hand controllers now, but the fact that like the Vive came with them just like to me sets it apart from the Oculus. But yeah, VR, I mean, it can't, like, that's only last night, the Volox Air Sport, where like you're like flying down a mountain in a squirrel suit.
No, I haven't. Oh my God, that sounds awesome.
Oh yeah, so it basically like you have to use a gamepad, unfortunately, because it's for the both Oculus and the Vive. But so you can sit up or stand up, and you're putting this, you're like flying down a mountain using a controller. Jeez. And it doesn't quite feel like you're doing it. So what we did is we laid down on a table, we put a fan in front of our face. We had like the fan. Right. I'm telling you, man, it was crazy. Like we were shifting our bodies, like almost knocked the table over, trying to shift our bodies to like maneuver across a tree. It's crazy.
And I said that if I was going to lay, you laid our stomach down, right?
Yeah. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. I think I have it up here. What'd you say?
I said, if you're going to lay down on the table, cut a hole in it and get a lady of questionable morals to, get to work downstairs. That's just me.
Which I think Pornhub's Vive app can probably help you with that.
I actually tried that out, and it wasn't as fantastic as I thought it was going to be, but it was good.
Dude, for sure. We all know porn drives industry, so give it time, and that will drive advancements in VR.
Well, for sure.
I definitely.
And they're all in already. So, what's interesting is you're not seeing anything from Ubisoft. You're not seeing anything from any of the heavy hitters. That's the weird thing about it. So I'm kind of on the fence, man. Like, everybody knows that I'm the hype train conductor. Like, I'm all about, but I'm kind of worried that there is no MMO yet, or there is no, maybe it's going to take time, but these people have had their development kits for 2 years now. I don't know why there isn't a Zelda for the Vive or a Counter-Strike for the Vive. Or
I think it's the price point's too high for the average consumer to have. So yeah. I mean Ubisoft, Blizzard, anybody, that they're not, I can't see them like dedicating an actual team resources and like funding toward like a AAA title for the Vive. Yeah. Because they won't sell. I mean, like, honestly, like, I know one person with a Vive, I meet all the time. They're like, what's a Vive? What's an Oculus? Like, they just don't, yeah. People just don't know.
And not just that, but everybody, in my experience, everybody knows what an Oculus is. Nobody knows what a Vive is.
Or so, vice versa. Like,
yeah. And it's so much more powerful and has, but you know, this is podcast stuff. So let's see. And if you had a choice between receiving by Amazon a lightsaber or a hoverboard, which one would you choose?
Oh, that's a good question.
I know.
Probably a lightsaber.
Okay, now, you get one tomorrow. How does it change your life? Like, what practical use could you have for a lightsaber? What would you do? Remember, there's going to be questions asked. What could you possibly do with your lightsaber?
Practically, probably nothing. Just honestly, I have a lightsaber. So yeah, I guess practically hoverboard, but like a fucking badass lightsaber.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a lightsaber. That's the answer right there. I have a lightsaber.
You have a lightsaber, so maybe when you have the Joneses over for dinner, you bust it out, maybe.
Yeah, slice some bread.
It's funny. The second time this comes up, but you can both toast and slice in one.
Yeah, definitely.
One slice, right?
Yeah, it's perfect. I mean, like,
there goes your table.
Let's market it.
All right, cool. How'd you hear about our podcast?
How did I hear about your podcast? So this actually goes like I've had a really hard time finding other PC gamers.
Yeah.
For a long time, actually. I know there are a lot out there.
It's weird, man. There's millions of us, yet when you talk to people, everybody plays Call of Duty on their PS4.
Right. And, like, so I've met a lot of guys in the military who play PC. And, but there's a new generation of PC gamers that I'm not a part of. It may sound weird.
Yeah. The esports.
Right.
MOBA.
And I felt this when I went to DreamHack. I was like, I was playing 1.6 before these kids were even born. And here they are making millions of dollars. But anyway, so I would meet some people who play PC games, but they play like games I would never get into. But I try to like make friends who play PC games who are also like familiar with like the hardware, because I like geeking out and nerding out about PC hardware.
Yeah,
and so a lot of
Bobby, and we always cut him off when he gets into it, but it's probably the biggest hole in our podcast. I would say you would enjoy if we had a hardware section like every other episode, right?
Oh yeah, I love it, but I can definitely see how it can get boring, because like just no one wants to listen to like, you know, statistics. Technicals. Or it gets boring after a while, and you just find yourself like zoning out. But how I find your podcast, like I've always had a hard time finding PC gamers. So I play with my brother and all of our, we have a lot of friends in Canada. I don't know why Canada.
Dude, Canada is really big in podcasting, and just like they have a lot of, what do you call it? Disposable income. Canada is rich as fuck, dude. But anyway, go ahead.
So yeah, I listen to like the PC Perspective podcast, the PC Gamer podcast. They all PC Gamer. To me, the PC Gamer podcast, it's a good podcast, but it doesn't feel personal.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like a lot of good information. I can't remember his name. Super smart though.
Evan Lottie.
Yeah, and then
we have an interview with him, dude.
Do you?
We interviewed him on the podcast. Yeah, he's so fucking smart, dude. It's crazy.
I'll have to find it. But yeah, I went on Amazon Play Store. I was typed in PC gaming, and it was you guys and something else. I was like, Digital Logic. That sounds interesting. So I downloaded it and listened to it. I was like, I was hooked immediately. I mean, nice. You guys have such a great like dynamic.
The number one thing that we're aiming for right off the bat was like, I knew right off the bat, we can't compete with PC Gamer. The resources, their respect that they command. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things that Evan said, that if you're walking around with a PC Gaming badge, you can literally walk up to anybody at E3 and just ask them anything. It's like a magic power having that title, you know? Even though like financially, I don't think they're like a powerhouse or anything, but they are who they are. And
they don't even need to be.
Yeah, and they provide a fantastic service. They're really good at it. And if I was going to give them one slight, is they all sound a little jaded because they've played so many games and review, and they all come free for them for the most part. And I guess we're kind of starting to sound like that too, because we all get all our games from Team Tom. But the number one thing I told Bobby right off the bat, we can't compete with that. We don't have the resources. What we can do that they can't do is say whatever we want and speak as if you were amongst friends and sitting at a circle talking about what you love.
Yeah, you guys can do what you want. Be personal with your community, even if it grows. I mean, you guys, like you said, you don't have the resources PC Gamer has, but you don't need the resources PC Gamer has. You guys have four dudes who love PC gaming. This isn't their. You guys, this isn't your job.
Yeah.
So you don't like take it so seriously. Like you're not gonna get fired from this job. So you say what you want, and the community seems to love it. Obviously, you guys. I don't know how big your following is, but like I listen to it, and I never feel like I'm being like either like talked down to or
yeah, yeah.
And anything like it's hard to explain.
I know exactly what you're saying.
I feel like I'm not being pandered to, which I appreciate.
I appreciate it, man. Cool. So let's talk about the most important thing that we've had is your memorial PC build called Project Honor, correct?
Yes, Project Honor.
Project Honor. So you know what? Just take it away. I'm not going to ask questions. Tell me what it is. We mentioned on the podcast already. Your goal is more than halfway there, but tell me what was the catalyst about this. How'd you get this in your head?
And all right, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, okay, back in March, my first line supervisor, Staff Sergeant Lewis, took his life. None of us have any idea why. Like, I was talking to the dude, like, the night before, and everything seemed fine. We were actually talking about how I was going to go over his house, and he was going to help me mod my Cytec X52 to play some Star Citizen. It was awesome, cool. So, like, the next morning, doesn't show up. long story short, he ends up killing himself. We have no idea why. But he was a huge PC gamer. Like, his granted, his main, I won't say granted, but his main game was World of Tanks.
That's a really big game that nobody...
Yeah, he was really into that. He was really into, like, a lot of... He was really into, like, military history, so he loved playing, like, the Mil Sim, like Arma, or anything flight simulator combat-oriented. But we always talk video games, PC gaming, and like military history in the office. He would always try to, like, convert people to the master race, which we would try to every day. Right. Never worked. It never worked. Anyway, his wife gave me his old computer that he was using, and it was kind of not the best. I mean, it was a few years old.
Was it better than yours?
No.
Okay.
He didn't really believe in cleaning. It's like a dust bunny's, like, haven.
Yeah.
But the game he was playing against didn't really, like, require a lot of power. So he was always happy with what he had, which is awesome about it. He never complained about, like, needing a new video card. Never complained about, like, I need more RAM. I need a bigger monitor. He had, like, a 20-inch monitor and was perfectly happy with it. And he still kicked ass. So that's all that mattered.
Yeah.
So I was like, I would love to, like, clean this thing up, swap some hardware out, and then donate it to just somebody. I was like, wait a second. I wonder if I could, like, raise money or even, like, get a hold of companies to see if they would be willing to sponsor a build that I could donate to a veteran. So I started calling some people, Operation Supply Drop. I was like, hey, are you guys able to take whole computers? And they're like, yeah, we could take a PC if it's already built. I was like, okay, cool. And I learned.
One second. Who is Operation Supply Drop and what do they do?
So Operation Supply Drop is an organization who tries to bring military and civilian people together for the sole purpose of, like, using video games as, like, a therapeutic tool cognitive behavioral rehabilitation. So they accept donations like video games, mainly consoles. And they send them overseas to, like, soldiers who are deployed or soldiers who are, like, recovering in the VA hospitals and stuff.
Right.
So I was like...
A rig would be so good. A rig would... we kind of talked about the VR and how it could be a social thing. Like, a rig in a VA hospital wouldn't just make one person happy. It would make a bunch of people happy.
Right. And that's actually something later on the road that I'm trying to work with them as maybe, like, do this again on a bigger scale. But as far as sponsors, like, I sent emails to, like, anybody you can think of. If they had, like, a contact number,
yeah,
I fucking emailed them. So I emailed EVGA, Asus, PNY, Acer, Zotac, everybody. EVGA was actually the first, actually the only company, to respond back to me. And, like, I kind of tailored my email to them because I'm a huge EVGA fan. I always use their video cards.
I agree, dude. And we've interviewed one of their top, like, guys.
Jacob?
Yep.
Yeah, I met him at DreamHack. He's a pretty cool dude. But yeah, they responded back to me saying, like, hey, we can get behind this project. We would like to help you out. So they're... After, like, some email exchanges back and forth and having them talk to Operation Supply Drop, they are donating. They're going to help me with a motherboard, X99 or a Z170. I'm probably going to go to the Z170 board, and then a power supply, and then a video card, a GTX 950. However, the GTX, like, 1070, 1080s are just coming out. I'm gonna try to work something to either get or purchase through them, like a GTX 1070. I've had a buddy of mine who's a pretty big tech gaming YouTuber. His name is Sergeant Ballistic on YouTube. He sent me a Corsair C70 with the OD green case. I've already started modding that. Another buddy of mine sending me Crucial Ballistic DDR4 RAM and a 240 gig SSD.
So what's left, really, that you really need?
What's left is, you know, my parts list. I can tell you right now. It's so the processor. I want to go with, like, a Corsair, like, all-in-one cooler. some fans. With my budget, I can afford like an Asus 24-inch 144-hertz monitor, G-Sync monitor. No, sorry, that's actually wrong. One of their, it's like a $600 monitor. It's like a 27-inch 1440p G-Sync monitor. It's a beast.
Somebody's going to be in love, dude. Some guy with no leg is going to just be like, wow.
I'm gonna put this thing together and be like, oh my god, I have to get rid of this. I have to donate this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But right now I'm at $1,150 of $2,000. It's a lot more than I thought I'd get in such a short time.
So great, dude. And well, literally, you're the first human I've ever said the word without being facetious. To this is a valiant effort. You're doing something valiant.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
You're putting yourself at risk for something to help somebody else, to not help yourself at all. And that is fantastic, dude. Fan-fucking-tastic. My hat's off to you.
I appreciate it, man. I think that's actually part of the reason some people haven't actually replied to me is because, if you, let's say you get an email from some guy's like, hey, I'm doing this build. I need $2,000. Can you supply some parts? Right. I mean, I didn't even think about it until like much later, until it's too late. I was like, how suspicious do I sound right now?
Yeah.
But
you have to think about that up front.
And I can't.
I helped you a little bit because you're still, what is it called? Your message is so pure that when I felt like I had some notes for you because you're like, you're missing the point on what people are reading right off the bat. You remember
right,
that?
Right. Yeah. I do remember that. I changed it from that too. And I think it actually helped.
Yeah. I hope so. But man, this guy's legit. Please support him. You can go to GoFundMe. Everybody knows who they are. And if you just type in Memorial PC, he's the top one. Yep. And they're right up front. There's a picture of the guy that the Memorial PC is all about. And man, like I said, this is a fantastic endeavor, and I hope we've helped. I feel like we've helped a bit. And if you get like 90% of there, I'm sure we'll finish that gap for you.
Awesome, man! Thank you. Yeah.
Fantastic. Anything you want to say at the end?
Just keep doing what you guys are doing, man. Honestly, like, you guys are doing an awesome thing with this PC podcast. I mean, like, this is exactly why I try to find this thing, is to find like-minded PC gamers who are like not even the same, not same interests as me, PC gamer regarding that, but just like who don't really care, don't take it too seriously. You just want to have fun. Just keep doing that, man.
Appreciate it, man. And you keep doing what you're doing, man. And if it escalates, we'll support that escalation 100-fold.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right, Christopher. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll talk to you later.
Later, dude.